Well, good morning, Conquerors Class. This is Brother Ray Shutt. I hope you're having a wonderful Labor Day Sunday, and I hope to see you today at church. If you're able to be there, if you're not, I hope you'll tune us in at 10:45 for the Sunday morning worship service, and then come back tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. for the Sunday night worship service, and then back on Wednesday night again for our Wednesday evening Bible study. Today, we are starting lesson number 4 in our Zealous for the Truth series. Today's lesson is entitled Danger Ahead. We're going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter number 2, verses 1 through 9. And I hope that you'll get your Bible and follow along with us in our lesson outline there on the webpage today. I want to leave a thought with you this morning as we would try to sum up this simple this lesson today with a simple statement. But it's this thought: be aware that the devil is out to stop you. Be aware that the devil is out to stop you. Today's lesson theme verse is found in the passage of Scripture in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. Here's what the Bible said: "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." After exhorting his readers there in 2 Peter chapter 1 to give all diligence to add to their faith those attributes of godly character which demonstrate and prove that their faith in God is really real, Peter now begins in chapter 2 to warn his readers about the fact of false teachers. These folks had moved in among the people and had plans not only to destroy their faith in Christ, but also to destroy their faith in action. You see, the devil, the very adversary of all that God stands for, is out to destroy and to forever damn the souls of men, women, boys, and girls, and he does not care what he has to do to accomplish his wicked agenda. And folks, the devil is a very subtle character. You know that. Even as we've seen ever since Genesis chapter number 3, verse 1, and his ways of doing things have never changed, and they never will change. For as Jesus, speaking of the devil, said in John chapter 8, verse 44, "He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus refers to Satan as a thief. And he says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So in essence, and as we will see in the verses today in our lesson, Peter is now declaring unto those who will read his letter to basically be aware of the devil, folks. That's what he's saying. Be aware of the devil. As long as he's around, there's danger ahead. And folks, I would say the same thing to each of you today that are listening to the sound of my voice. Folks, be aware of the devil. As long as he is around, there is danger ahead. And let me say this too, just because you may truly be a born-again child of God, and you may take a faithful stand against sin, and you may even read your Bible and pray every day, and you do everything within your power to tell folks about Christ and how to be saved, it does not mean that the devil will not simply leave you alone, or that he will not try in some way to get you sidetracked with deceptive false teachers and subtle false doctrine and compromise. Because the fact is, he will. And as a matter of fact, because you and I are indeed born again children of God, the devil is going to focus on us more than he focuses on those who are still lost in their sin, because he knows they're already on their way to hell because they've not yet been saved. So now, if he can just do whatever it takes to get and to keep you and me sidetracked from being faithful Christians, and if he can take whatever opportunity he can to discourage us from trying to win folks to Christ as we know we ought to do, and if he can somehow cause us just to drop our guard and simply compromise what we say we believe or what we know the Bible says we ought to be doing, then he can make us to be an ineffective Christian. He'll make us ineffective in all our efforts to win others to Christ, and in so doing, he can cause the lost world around us to remain lost in their sin and to be forever destined to an eternity separated from God, from the very God who loves them, and send them to an awful place called hell that was prepared for him and his fallen angels. Folks, false teachers are the tools that Satan uses to do exactly that. And they cause the truly born-again children of God who are not anchored in the Word of God to remain spiritual babes in Christ, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, unable to stand in their faith or to defend themselves against the attacks of Satan, so they will just wilt away under the attacks of Satan, and so they never grow into being a fruitful branch rooted in the vine of Christ, and that they will never become a witness to those around them who are lost in their sin and on their way to a devil's hell, and they will forever remain lost in that sin. So in our lesson today, Peter reminds each of us that there is danger ahead. And he shows us not only what that danger is, but he also shows us how to identify that danger so as to avoid the perils of the many dangers of false teachers in our world today. So let's take a look at this lesson today from God's Word, okay? It's entitled Danger Ahead. Now, you look at the lesson plan there on the website. Pull it up. Print it out. It's there for your help and your benefit. And I hope you'll follow along with us this morning, all right? First of all, let's look at the presence of false teachers. The presence of false teachers. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." I want you to see today how that the Apostle Peter reminds his readers that even as there were false prophets in the history of the nation of Israel, there would also be many false teachers that would arise among God's people even in his day. And this fact remains even unto our present day in our modern history as well. Listen, in Acts chapter 20, verses 16 through 32, we read how the Apostle Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock, over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Now notice how these false teachers can be identified, folks. First of all, we see they can be identified by their appearance. There in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, the first part of the verse, the Bible said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. You see, they appeared from within the church. They claimed to be God's spokespersons, when in all reality, they represented the devil and his lies. They appeared to be godly when in fact they were ungodly. And while deceiving others, they were themselves being deceived by Satan. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Then notice also that they were identified not only by their appearance, but by their denial. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, the second part of that verse, well, let me just go back and read the first part. It said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. The Apostle Paul described false teachers in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, writing this, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. In his writing to his son in the faith, Titus, again, the Apostle Paul described these false teachers there in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, writing, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. They deny truth. And in so doing, they are denying our Lord Jesus Christ because, as we all know, Jesus is truth. That's John chapter 14, verse 6. They are denying God's word because, again, as we all know, God's word is truth. And that's found in John chapter 17, verse 17. And they're denying the sweet Holy Spirit of God because, as we all know, God, the Holy Spirit, is truth. And you can read about that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. all this simply reminds us of the fact that the doctrine being taught by these false teachers is not only damnable heresies, as Peter put it, but they're totally contrary to biblical teaching. And those who claim to know Christ but refuse to hide the Word of God in their heart that they might not sin against God, they soon become victims of the doctrine of these false teachers. And what is really so sad is the fact that their denial of truth is what brings in their own destruction. Look at it here. In the last part of verse number 1, we read these words of prophetic outcome for those false teachers. Look at what it said. And they bring upon themselves swift destruction. Solomon, the son of King David, wrote in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 31 and 32, "Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." Oh, how sad that verse is. And this swift destruction is, according to Revelation 20, verse 10, an everlasting destruction in hell, where they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, these false teachers are therefore obviously not of God, but they are of Satan himself. But then I want you to see also this morning how and why God's people are so oftentimes deceived by these false teachers. Look at verses 2 and 3, where we see the deception of God's people. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, the Bible said, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Here we see that they have a successful following. Isn't that amazing that false teachers can have a successful following? Look at verse 2. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." That word pernicious, that's a wicked sounding word, isn't it? But that's exactly what it means. That word pernicious literally means highly injurious or destructive, deadly, wicked. And these false teachers become very popular. They would become very popular and they would gain many followers because their ways were not God's ways, but they were ways that appealed to the flesh. And John writes in 1 John chapter 4, verse 5, "They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." Peter here describes this lifestyle as pernicious, highly injurious, destructive, deadly, wicked in the sight of God. They teach that it's all right, that after you're saved, you can live any old way you want to live. And these false teachers refer to their way as being a display of God's grace, while at the same time describing God's way for the child of God as being burdensome and even legalistic. Oh, how wicked these people are. But sadly, their false teaching often appeals to the fleshly desires of those who are not grounded in the Word of God. Therefore, they are the ones that will obtain a very successful following. These false teachers will deceive even the very elect if they can. But then I want you to see item number B here in verse number 3. We see here the false teachers and how they are merchandising the people. They're merchandising people. Look at it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 3. "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." You see, many people today who name the name of Christ, they bear beautiful leaves of profession, but only true children of God bear real fruit of possession. Many are the churches today which follow these false teachers and whose congregations are like the big and beautiful Bradford pear trees you see out in people's yards and on the sides of the road, which very quickly grow up and they grow big and tall and they bear great numbers of leaves, but whose branches never bear the fruit for which they're named. Nor are these trees capable of withstanding the storms which so swiftly blow through a neighborhood and even more quickly destroy their weak branches and overturn their shallow roots. And here, Peter boldly describes how through their love of filthy lucre and their greed of notoriety, these false teachers and filthy dreamers make merchandise of those who follow after their wicked, destructive, pernicious and heretical ways. They speak with feigned words, meaning they speak with vain and fictitious words, scorning the truth of God's word. And as the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, they have so vilely changed the truth of God into a lie. And soon the judgment hand of God will come upon them, as Peter states here in the last part of verse number 3. And now, in verses 4 through 9, Peter gives us three examples of how God's judgment came upon those in past times who also thought that they could escape God's judgment, but who fell headlong before the Lord God that they had so mocked and scorned. I want you to look at it with me here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9, as Peter gives us examples of God's judgment. Look at what Peter writes here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in verses 4 through 9. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved in the judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Wow. Think about that, folks. God tells Peter to show his examples of his coming judgment that is holy against false teaching, so that it would be a warning to those that were so wicked and so deceived by Satan to do such things. Now, God's examples are given here. There's three of them. The first one, point number A, is the fallen angels that were seen here in verse number 4. Look at what it said. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now here, Peter takes us all the way back to those angels who sinned and rebelled against holy God. And in like manner, Peter reminds us that those false teachers and those heretics that have for so long mocked the God of creation and who have scorned the mercy and long-suffering of Almighty God, now, like men on a death row, they await the final execution of God's holy judgment against their sin. Now, whether these angels that Peter's talking about and upon whom God spared not his righteous judgment against them are those sons of God that are mentioned in Genesis chapter 6, verse 2, for their wicked deeds, or whether these are those angels that were cast out with Lucifer, the Bible does not specifically tell us that. But this much we know: God spared them not. nor did he hesitate to cast them down into hell and to deliver them in the chains of darkness, as Peter writes, to be reserved unto judgment. And we do know that God's judgment certainly came upon them, and unto this very day they await God's final judgment upon them, even as we read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, when the devil that deceived them will one day be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, along with the beast and the false prophet, and they shall all be tormented day and night forever. But then Peter gives a second example of God's judgment, and that example being the judgment of the old world. Now look at verse number 5. It says here, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. If you'll remember, in the days of Noah, the Bible said there in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Boy, doesn't that sound like our world today? Back then, wicked men and false teachers of Noah's day thought that they could hide their wicked and pernicious ways from the eyes of holy and almighty God. But boy, were they ever wrong, even as we can see in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. But because of their wicked deeds, we read in Genesis chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, that it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. My goodness, what sorrow it brought to God's heart to see the sinfulness of wicked man upon the earth. Judgment for sin and judgment for false teaching and judgment for rebellion against holy God did indeed come. And Peter reminds his readers of this great example of God's sure wrath and coming judgment against sin. But oh, thank God for Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, where the Bible said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, folks, there is sufficient grace for every sin if only men will listen to the truth of God's word and be willing to receive that truth into their hearts. But then Peter gives a third example of God's holy judgment upon these wicked residents of Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at it in verses 6 through 9. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. And he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, I want you to notice something here. As I was studying this, it just dawned upon me. But notice here that God gives three times the amount of verses to warn the people against this wicked sin of what is referred to in God's word as sodomy. You know, today, Satan has launched his hellish band of devils and false teachers to infiltrate our schools and to infiltrate our homes through TV and social media and radio programs, and to make it seem that sin is no longer wrong and that God's truths are no longer acceptable. But folks, God's judgment is coming against the wicked lies of sodomy and upon those who teach its lies as being truth. Folks, are you aware that the laws against this sinful lifestyle that used to be considered sin and which used to be understood by all to be a wicked and ungodly lifestyle, They are slowly but surely being erased from our nation's laws today. The sodomy laws in the United States were laws that made certain kinds of sexual activity sinful and illegal, even as God's Word declared it to be. In the past, there were federal laws against sodomy, and every state in the Union had laws against such a lewd and wicked lifestyle, even in the 20th century. But starting in the 1960s, after both prayer and the Bible were taken out of our schools and institutions of supposed higher learning, some states began to actually repeal and throw out their sodomy laws. Can you believe that? In 2003, there was a case called Lawrence versus Texas, where the United States Supreme Court actually ruled that sodomy laws were unconstitutional. Can you believe that? They were considered to be unconstitutional, meaning that with this ruling, no sodomy law in the United States could now be used to charge a person with a crime. How wicked can someone become to make such a ruling against the laws of our country, which were founded upon God's holy word? Folks, King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived upon the face of this old earth, wrote in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, that righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The Bible said in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, that if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Folks, this is how God sees this wicked lifestyle of sodomy. It's an abomination. It's a shameful act of wickedness. It is absolute rebellion against God's way of living, even as we read in the New Testament book of Romans chapter 1. Look at it with me there. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 32. Listen to what the Bible said. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And folks, do you remember what God's word said back in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13? Let me read it to you again, where God said, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. And folks, God said his judgment would surely come upon them, and that they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Oh, how sad, but oh, how true. And folks, because God knew that the wickedness of man's heart would lead him to even more deplorable and degrading actions, he continued to have Moses write these words just two verses down from verse 13 in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 15, where God declared, "And if a man lie with a beast," can you imagine? "If a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast." Now you may say, "But preacher, who in their right mind would ever do something so vile as that?" But let me read you something that you may not be aware of today. It was reported in February of 2020, this year. But to most of the public, it was a big secret. It was kept that way. In a little noticed development, the Maryland House of Delegates voted 133-5 on February the 20th to repeal the state's sodomy law, which criminalizes same-sex sexual relations between consenting adults with a penalty of up to 10 years in prison. The vote took place 17 years after the Supreme Court declared such laws to be unconstitutional. That was posted on the Washington Blade website. Folks, how sad that the hearts of people can be so easily deceived by false teachers who are so bent on disobeying the Word of God and who are so violently against the very God who loves them and who desires so much to save them from the penalty of their sin. And folks, although there are so many so-called churches and religions and denominations that support not only these, but so many other types of false teaching in our world today, and they try to make us as Christians ashamed of living holy lives before the God who has saved us and before the world who needs to hear the truth of God's word, we as truly born-again children of God are reminded in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, that ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Folks, don't get discouraged by living for God. Don't get discouraged by the world that makes it want to seem like you're the bad guy for living for God, and they're the good guys for speaking up and rebelling against God. Listen, in John chapter 16, verse 33, we are reminded by our Lord Jesus Christ himself that these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And while the devil tries to make you and me feel as if he's already won this battle for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls, I am so glad to report to you today, folks, that those of us who have truly been born again are still on the winning side. Amen? And God will one day reward our faithfulness to stand for truth, even as he's promised in his word to judge those deceivers and those false teachers who continually choose to disregard God's word as truth and who lead others to do the same, even as we read here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, where Peter again writes, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Now, folks, as we conclude this lesson, I want to remind you of something. Child of God, when the devil sends his teachers of lies and damnation to you, and he tries to persuade you that God's word is not really true, and that you cannot really believe anything that the Bible says, don't you get discouraged and give in to that rascal. Don't you give in to the devil. Listen, don't try to get even with somebody that mistreats you because you believe the truth of God's word or because you won't compromise godly living for ungodly living, you just remember what the Bible said in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, where Paul wrote, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And you just remember what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 3 through 5. He said, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." You know, Jesus told a story in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. And this is what he said. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He saith unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Folks, Satan will make certain that there will be false teachers who will come in secretly and make themselves visible among true believers in our church and in our Sunday school class, even as the Bible shows us here in 2 Peter chapter 2. But folks, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You may ask, "Well, preacher, how can I do that?" Well, first of all, you need to realize and recognize the fact that Satan is out to rob and to steal and to kill and to destroy all that you and I are trying to do to teach people the truth of God's word today. Secondly, don't get used to it or accustomed to sin. Folks, don't be so surprised to see open sin becoming worse and worse in the days to come, and to see sin so shamelessly running more and more rampant in our world today as we draw closer and closer to our Lord's imminent return. Did not our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tell us over in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 6, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many? And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass." Folks, stay in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to stay in you. Listen, beware of the dangers of false teachers that lay ahead of us each and every day and in each and every place that we go. And simply stay in the Word of God. If we'll trust Him and stay in His Word, God will, even as we read in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, He will deliver the godly out of temptations, even as He will one day reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Stay in the book, folks, and stay faithful unto God. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, "Be strong." Now, that's not to be, you're not to be strong in your own power or in your own self, but you're to be strong in the Lord. Look at what it said. "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The simple fact is this, dear child of God, dear Conquerors Class member, if we will choose to walk with the Lord, we will not find ourselves running with the world or even being deceived by the devil's disguised ministers or any of his other false teachers. Now, you know what? I'm thankful that God has saved me. I'm thankful that I'm on the winning side today. But perhaps you're listening to the sound of my voice today, and you're not yet saved. It may be that you don't have any assurance whatsoever that you'll ever be in heaven when you die. My friend, won't you turn to Jesus Christ today? I beg you, turn your eyes upon Jesus and be saved before it's eternally too late. God loves you, and He wants you to be saved, but you have to make a choice. God's Word says that He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. And you may say, well, Brother Ray, what should I do? Well, the Bible gives us the answer. It tells us exactly what you need to do. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, why don't you come to Jesus? Why don't you confess your sin unto Him and call upon Him today and ask Him to save you? Father, God, we thank You, Lord, for this lesson. I thank You, God, that we can have an honest Word of God that shares the truth with us and shows us our need of a Savior. And God, I'm thankful, Lord, that You give strength to those who have trusted You to overcome the devil's deceptions. And I pray, dear God, that You will help us through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us, Lord, to see the dangers that are ahead of these false teachers and these deceptors of the truth. Lord, I pray that You'll use us in a great and mighty way to continue to teach and to preach the Word of God as it ought to be taught and preached. And Lord, as we ought to go out and tell folks about You, give us strength and wisdom to serve You with all of our heart today and not be taken by the adversary in some deceptive way. And God will sure thank You for what You do. We love You. Thank You for the lesson today. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Folks, thank you for joining us today for the lesson. I hope that if you can be at church today, you'll meet us there at 10:45, then come back again tonight at 6 o'clock, and then we'll meet you again on Wednesday night for the midweek Bible study service. I know Pastor Belcher would love to see you there. We love you, Conquerors Class, and we sure do look forward to seeing each of you here at church and possibly even this morning. God bless you until we get to meet together again.